Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is from the Gospel, especially these words. Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it's good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. As he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, it probably doesn't surprise you to know that when I was younger, I said a lot of things that were kind of dumb. And I've gotten much better over the years, but I did. For example, and I've mentioned this before, whenever I was making a big change in my life, I always said the same thing. I'm going to make a complete 360, you know. And now keep in mind, I failed geometry, right? And someone finally told me, you know, a 360 means you end up right where you started. Okay, you mean a 180. And I'm like, oh, that's right, you know, okay. Never learned that in summer school, but haven't made that mistake again. Now, that's a mistake that's made out of ignorance. I didn't know any better, right? There's another kind of a mistake as well, and that's from not thinking about what you're saying. It's probably the most mortifying experience I've had in the ministry, and where these members, their daughter and son-in-law, came to church, and after church I was shaking hands, and I shake hands with them, and I said to the daughter, "Congratulations." And she said, "Why?" And I said, "Well, you're going to have a baby." And she said, "No, I'm not." Oh, even now it makes me feel horrible, just the look on her face. I mean, since then, that baby's got to celebrate at least the first birthday before I even recognize anybody being pregnant in the first place. I just will never make that mistake again. But that's because I wasn't thinking about what I was saying. Now, both of these reasons for saying something dumb seem to really work in here with Peter. Although from his perspective, I don't think they do. And to really seize on his perspective here, we have to understand what was his thinking at. And we get that from right the very beginning where it says this transfiguration took place 8 days after these events. Well, what were those events? That was when Jesus said to the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter made his great confession. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And after making that confession, then Jesus goes on to explain what that really means. He says the Christ is going to be arrested, and he's going to be beaten, and he's going to be killed, and on the third day he'll rise from the dead. If that wasn't bad enough, then Jesus goes on to say, "And you also have to bear your cross if you're going to follow me." In other words, you're going to die too. And then he says something that seems a little strange. He says, "And some of you will not taste death until you see the kingdom." Well, I've always thought that was very strange. You know, like, are there disciples around today? You know, a couple of them made it to 2000 and something? Not really. When you look at the context here, you see that the disciples who saw the kingdom of heaven, at least an image of it, were Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. And that must have been an amazing thing. Moses and Elijah are seen in their glory, and Jesus in an even greater glory. They see this glorious, amazing thing. And what's the disciples' first response to this? Nothing. Do you know why? Because they're sleeping. Now, I'll give you a perfect example of the way Peter's thinking leads to missing the point. Not that I'd ever preach a sermon like this, but I looked at that, and the first time I read that, this text, I said to myself, boy, those guys can sleep anywhere. Lucky, you know? I mean, in the Garden of Gethsemane, they're sleeping on the dirt. On the Mount of Transfiguration, they're sleeping on bare rock. I can't even sleep in an airplane or in a car. How lucky is that? Now, that's kind of a dumb thing to say and to think about, right? Certainly a dumb thing to make as a theme of a sermon. But it's not because I'm ignorant. I understand exactly what's taking place in the text. It's not because I haven't thought about what I'm saying. It's because if I choose the theme of this text to be how do we sleep better, then I've kind of missed the point because I'm thinking about myself. Eventually, Peter, James, and John wake up and see what's happening. Now, we tend to focus so much on that they see the glory to miss the other thing that they're really catching on to, especially Peter. And that is, Jesus isn't just, you know, sitting there with Moses and Elijah shining, right? They're having a discussion. And Peter hears everything that Jesus says. And what's Jesus talking about? Exactly what he talked about 8 days prior. That he's going to suffer and die, that they're going to die as well. And Peter, understandably, interrupts what Jesus says. He says, hey, it's good, Lord, to be here. Not where we die, not where we suffer. It's good, Lord, to be here. And let's build these tents. And let's make this heaven on earth. He's not ignorant in saying this. He knows what he's saying. He certainly has thought about what he's saying because he knows what Jesus is saying and he wants him to stop. And so really, it's not so much that he says something dumb, he says something that's wrong. And it's wrong because it's self-centered. And as Christians, we can get caught up in that when it comes to the kingdom of heaven. We could think it's just a life that's everything's perfect, we got good health, we're prosperous, we're happy, we're joyful, we're peaceful, everything's great. And whenever that's the case, we're like, this is good, Lord, let's just keep it up. But Jesus says to us, of these things is not the kingdom of heaven. In fact, the kingdom of heaven is not all about us. It really isn't even for us. And that becomes abundantly clear when the cloud envelops here, the mountain, and they find themselves in the darkness and afraid. And we're supposed to be picking up on, this is just like Mount Sinai. And they're in that cloud, and what do they hear? They hear the God the Father speak, this is my son, number one. Number two, I've chosen him. And number three, listen to him. And Peter will listen to him, and he will follow him. But at this time, he doesn't want to suffer and die, not even with Jesus. Now, the journey from the Mount of Transfiguration to Jerusalem where Jesus dies, this doesn't take him that long to get there, but over this period of time, Jesus is going to teach him a lot of lessons, and he will the rest of his life too, about what the kingdom of heaven really is. The kingdom of heaven is not found on the mountain. It's found following Jesus. Now, there's three really important points about this text. Number one, it shows us that the kingdom that Jesus brought is an Old Testament kingdom. Okay, it's not a new kingdom. It's just a furtherance of what God had done in the Old Testament. That's why we have Moses and Elijah here. Also, unlike what other people are thinking at this time, Jesus is not Elijah and he's not Moses. He's much greater than that. But the most important thing is it teaches us that the kingdom of heaven is not found on the mountain, it's found following Jesus. And every day of our lives, God comes to us and he gives us the same message about his son. This is my son. I've chosen him. Listen to him. And when we follow this Savior and listen to him, he leads us to the cross. He points at that cross and he says, this is where I died for your sins. And because of that, every day of your life, I love you and care for you, and I will never leave you. I pray that our Heavenly Father continues to speak to us day after day after day and give us the faith to hear so that we really understand. We don't miss the point of our lives. And we don't miss a life that's worth living. Because a life that is worth living is a life that follows Jesus. That's the kingdom of heaven until we come to our fullness of glory. In Jesus' name, amen.